boys and girls. It's Jamie. Welcome you to another edition of Movie Moan, the TMT podcast. Joining me as always is my good pal, the British gentleman agent, Mr. Phil G. Say hello, sir.
Hello, children. Hello. Also joining us this week, freshly returned from the Land of Oz, is our good friend to you and me, Queen Christina. Hello, love.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
And also joining us is our grumpy uncle next door, Captain Ed Hocken, star of the Braindead... Ed Hocken Show on BraindeadRadio.com. Sorry, Ed.
Thank you, Phil. I have to say, once again, it's always great to be on. Just to let people know, of the listeners of the Ed Hocken Show, a new episode was just recorded yesterday, and we'll definitely be on track to releasing that, hopefully, sometime in this coming week, and I'm sure we'll definitely tone down those audio issues. So... get ready for that.
Nice. I thought I was the drunk uncle, Phil. How come it's talking? I'm insulted.
I like to switch it up. I mean, he's just out of bed. He's groggy. You know, he's still pissed off about the Scott Pilgrim thing.
He's got a sandwich.
That's right. I actually had a sandwich earlier, just a moment ago. So.
Someone stole it.
What kind was it?
I went to Subway. I had a coupon, so it was a buffalo chicken sandwich.
Those are decent, actually.
I'm glad they kept that permanent on the menu. Those were not bad. They should never bother dealing with a cheesesteak. No, you're not kidding anybody. So
I like the cheesesteak, but what to me is ridiculous is the pizza. I mean,
I've never seen them sell a pizza.
You've never? It's down here, and I guess that makes more sense since I'm from the South. If they would sell pizza here, but I mean, like, is that how Jared lost all of his weight? I mean, come on, eating pizzas
at
Subway.
When they say it's a pizza, is it just like on their regular bread and they just put cheese and sauce and pepperoni on it?
No, sir. This is a pizza.
It's like a little frozen pizza that they throw it into that little toaster thing.
And they'll put like whatever the toppings that, like, you know, you can have whatever. You can put bacon on it for all, I don't know. Just so you can put any of that on there, and they put it in their little oven for like 3 minutes or something.
Never seen that here.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean,
basically, Jamie, you're telling me in the South, if you go into anywhere and they don't serve pizza, you just walk out again?
Apparently.
You go into a library? What? No pizza? Fuck this. Fuck literature.
Exactly. You know.
Well, I'm sure it's not that good. You know, if you're going to, you might as well just go to the KFC pizza combo place.
I've never seen one of those. I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen one personally. Although, I mean, you talk about KFC, they've got that quote-unquote sandwich with no bread on it, you know.
Yeah, the double down.
I've seen that.
I have never eaten one of those. That looks disgusting, and it's like...
Well, it's not been selling either, and some people actually, and they made a really good point, if you separated it out, the items, you would actually just have a chicken dinner. Just putting it all together seems wrong, so...
Ugh, that's just nasty. I remember when we used to went to Subway, a friend of mine, they used to have these ads, and they'd have people, the pictures when you enter, and they'd be these skinny people with really long pants stretched out, as it basically symbolically saying, well, I used to be this fat, yet after eating Subway, you know, I'm skinny now, and my pants don't fit. So my friend would honestly ask the people working there, after he bought a sandwich, okay, where do I get my big pants?
I always love that weight loss photo where anytime – I always expect anyone I know to have dropped a lot of weight to do that picture where they hold out the big pants and they give the okay sign.
I'm thinking of it right now.
I know. It's just so
– they even did that in The Sopranos. So.
Then they got whacked.
Anyway, this show appears to be brought to you by Subway.
That's right. Eat fresh. Well, I mean, as we previously said, I'm more of an Arby's guy or a Quiznos, and I actually had Quiznos not too long ago when my wallet still hurts because I dropped in like $10 for like one big sub.
That must have been huge, though.
No, it was just like a regular large, you know, sub, but club, yeah. Mm.
We should have had this conversation before you hit record, Jamie.
No, this is why people listen to us, I think, is we shoot the shit about movies, but also life. Life and maybe that's what we should call this podcast now, Life and Movies.
Absolutely.
No, it's a terrible title, actually. But speaking of movies, we didn't really see much this week, but Phil finally got to see something. What did you see, sir?
Yes, sir. I saw, despite your warnings, I saw Wall Street 2. But I saw it for free. I want to make that perfectly clear so you don't judge me too much. I was telling Chris this off air. I had enough points on my Odeon card that I was able to get a free ticket to see this thing, and just to plug them for a second, since we appear to be doing that at the moment, the great thing about my theatre chain is if you go to the movies every week, as I usually do, the points really do add up, and eventually you will be faced with being really curious about seeing a film that you might think is crap, or you know is crap, but you're really curious to see it, and you'll feel bad if you waste money on it, so you use your Odeon card, and you won't have to. So I saw Wall Street 2 for free, and I still wanted my money back afterwards. To be fair, though...
You demanded to God himself. Give me my 2 hours back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to chime in, Phil. I actually know there's a similar thing here at the Arclight. It used to be where you'd get 10 points for any movie you saw, and for 50 points you get $5 off concessions. Now they changed it where you have to see the not bargain show, which is only like a buck less, then you get the points. And if you have enough points, you could actually also see a movie for free if it's of a particular type. So I'm familiar with this type of program.
I think they should actually start a system where they basically like multiply the points you'll get by about five times if you see a movie that the chain know won't do well, like Scott Pilgrim. If you get five times the points on your card if everyone went to see Scott Pilgrim, we'd be living in a different world right now. I mean, that's something they can look in the world. Basically, look at the internet, see any movie that the internet's really pimping very hard, and pick that. And then they add up the points. I think that's a good idea to try out. But anyway, back to Wall Street 2 for a minute. I don't think, shock of shocks, that I disliked it as much as Jamie. Now, that might be because it might be because you prepped me for it, sir.
That happens. You do prepare yourself for the worst when a friend tells you, like, you know, this is the worst thing since the Holocaust. And then you go, wasn't that bad. You know, I don't remember you saying
that exactly.
I didn't say that, but I'm just giving you, you know, some context there. Go ahead.
Cancer? Nah. Wall Street 2. it's still a waste. It's a waste of time, though. It's a waste of life, as Burgess Meredith would say. It's a dull, poor film with no momentum and nothing interesting to say. And even if Jamie hadn't seen it, I knew the film was in trouble from minute one. Because the impression I got from the trailer was that the film would be, at least in part, about how Gordon Gekko comes out of prison, a corporate criminal at a point in history where the general public hates that type of person more than anyone because of the economy and Enron and shit, depending on, you know, when he gets released, what year they could have picked, and they could have picked any year in the last couple. So, you know, Gordon Gekko is the sole embodiment as a corporate criminal of all their troubles and despair, and yet, because we're all so scared about our own money and financial future, we'll readily embrace somebody like that, no matter what they've done in the past, if we think they can help us. And there's a teeny, teeny bit of that in the film, but it really takes the easy way out, because first scene, Gordon comes out of prison, and then we flash forward to 7 years later, I think it is, by which time he's back on top, really. He's got a book out, he's got TV interviews, he's got speaking engagements, and then he builds a company again, which is making billions, in about 5 seconds, in the laziest way possible.
Just like real life.
Exactly. He just happens to have $100 million stashed away conveniently in Switzerland, which he promises to give to his daughter, and then steals it all for himself, which only makes that horrible, happy fairy tale ending on the front porch even harder to swallow that Jamie prepped me for. To be fair, I think the film had the beginnings of a good idea, a good story to tell. The first film is very much about the corrupting power of greed and excess and that eventual brick wall that you hit. Wall Street 2, in Shia LaBeouf's character's journey, and for those of you who don't know, basically Shia is trying to fund this renewable energy project that can turn seaweed into energy or something. And basically it's, you know, his journey, it's about those people who really think they can change the world if they were able to just get themselves enough money to throw at the problem. You know, just get themselves rich, then throw unlimited money at the problem, and then all of a sudden we're living in a world of flowers and roses.
Phil, I gotta chime in. Did they at any point in this movie have what's known as a money fight?
Shockingly, they didn't.
No, they didn't. No, you're actually making the movie come off a little.
But
better,
Oliver, actually. But Oliver Stone did find time to give himself 3 cameos, apparently.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
You notice that too? Yeah.
He can't act. He was in the first one as well, but it was about 5 seconds. But that was still I think he's probably playing the same character.
I couldn't tell. Knowing his ego, he might have played just different characters.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's like the Shamhammer, really. Shamhammer puts himself in his movies, and he can't act. And it's always the worst part of his movies. You know, those movies that were good, those ones. I'm talking about those few ones.
10 years ago. Yeah. Most ones, yeah, back when some of you kids weren't born yet.
So, you know, I thought there was a really good idea there about, you know, a young kid who thinks they can change the world just by throwing money at a problem, and then what actually happens in the real world. And that's a good theme. I can relate to that, because I felt that way when I was younger, and I still do in a way. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story about it, shall I? When I was young, and I wanted to get into films, I had this idea about making a really successful film, a surefire hit, that I would fund entirely myself and 100% of the profits would go to charity. And I was thinking about this because I was looking at this book of grosses, and I was looking at, I think it was Guinness Book of Records or something, and you look at the numbers these films were grossing, and you say to yourself, my God, Jurassic Park makes 900 million bucks. With that sort of money, I could cure cancer, or I could rebuild Pakistan on the moon. Turn it into a moon colony or something. Then I grew older, and I started to actually grow a brain, and I actually started to learn about how films are made and profit sharing and such, and basically how they're funded. And I learned that was probably an impractical idea. And besides which, you can't just throw money at problems like that. If we could, those problems wouldn't exist. It just doesn't work like that. But that would have made an interesting journey, a learning journey for Shia's character. But they do take the easy way out. Because the money does get thrown at the problem at the end, and we're supposed to imagine that, you know, we will be living in a world of unlimited energy forever at the end of this film. It's bullshit. Now, what the film is really about, of course, is a father trying to reconcile with his daughter. Oh. You know how I know that? Because Carey Mulligan, as Gecko's daughter, has like 5 fucking scenes of almost getting back together with her dad, and then thinking better of it, and running away in tears, and this just keeps going on and on and on.
And then every time she blames him for the suicide of her brother.
Yes, that's
right. You were in prison. If you were in prison, this wouldn't have happened. You go, okay, Gordon Gecko's a bastard, but he was in prison. Like, look, give him that. Like, it's... I believe he says
the line, you can't blame me for that, 10 times. Easily 10 times. Just keeps going on and on. And it's not Wall Street, it's not Oliver Stone. And you feel like anybody could have directed this film, really, but not Oliver Stone. But then again, the Oliver Stone we know doesn't exist anymore. And I know Jamie's going to know what I'm talking about. He's going to respond to this. Did you notice, Jamie, there was some bizarre, almost George Lucas Star Wars-esque transition wipes in this film. Some really weird and some really funny editing, and some ghostly appearances by Frank Langella as well. Well, I'll get onto that in a second, but Frank Langella kept popping up as a ghost. I'm telling you,
That moment killed me more than anything else when he popped up as a ghost, because I wanted him to say out loud, "Avenge me!" when he said
it. I'll tell you what, because of the transition wipes, like there is one, I believe, where Gecko goes into an elevator, or it's some character, and as the elevator doors close, the screen wipes with it, and then we transition to the next shot. It's like, is this fucking, we going to Tatooine next? The fuck is this? And
Wall Street. Bunch of aliens, stock market, and there's John McKinley and
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
You caused a suicide, Jabba. So if Riff Trax does a commentary on this film, the words, when the Frank Langella appears, the words, Shia, you must go to the Dagobah system, they will be uttered. You can count on that. Count on it. Now, the final thing I have to bring up is that Charlie Sheen cameo.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Hey, Gordon, what you doing?
Thank God you prepped me for that, buddy. Thank God.
That is so bad.
As Jamie said, Charlie Sheen's character, Bud Fox, the protagonist of the first film, and Gordon Gekko meet again at a banquet, and they have a lovely chat about how well things are going, and it's all smiles. And I would have thrown up in my popcorn bucket if Jamie hadn't told me about this. It's really frustrating, because so much of the film, I think, is made with stupid winks to the first one, as if it's been made primarily for fans of the original film. But Anyone who has seen Wall Street 1 will tell you that after everything Gecko does to Bud in the first film, the first thing they would do if they ever saw each other again would find the nearest sharp object and go for the other's jugular. And if Oliver Stone were here, he'd say something like, oh, well, you know, the ultimate payback for Bud is to rub it into Gecko's face how he's turned his life around and he's been successful without Gecko's help. And well, that's bullshit, because basically Gecko needs to be poor and in the slums for that to work. But he isn't. He's successful too. So it's not like he's getting revenge at all. It just makes no sense at all. He's successful too. There's nothing that pisses me off more than people who made the first film, but they don't seem to know as much about it as just people who saw the first film. And that's what we've got here. Fuck it. Thank you for your time.
Phil, I don't think you liked that movie.
Oh, actually, it's you know, that's the worst thing about doing this show. These movies are worse than I remember. But this was a bad film.
It's pretty bad. That was always why it was amusing when I heard that it got a good reception at Cannes Film Festival. Just showing how out of whack some of those people are. It's like, yeah. Come on, with that ending, you people cheered at the clapped at the end. Just put your fucking nose in the corner and be quiet until recess bell rings. Like, shut up.
And apparently I make squeaking sounds when I'm angry. I apologize about that. I'm just, that's the right kind of metrosexual I am, I guess. I'm really sorry.
That's perfectly, it doesn't bother me now.
I didn't even notice.
I didn't either, to be honest. Anyway, moving on. The big item of this week, I think we would all agree, is we finally have a Superman director for the 2012 reboot Man of Steel, or Superman the Man of Steel, or Superman finally throws
and
a punch.
Jamie, I gotta say, I'm a little frightened that I somehow accurately predicted this.
You did? I forgot about
that. I can assure you, I did not fall into an ice-covered lake.
Because I totally would have run with that as an exclusive if Hawken did call me up and say, hey, this is what happened. Yeah, sorry, it's all Ed's fault. As received.
It is.
No, just kidding. So the story, there were five finalists. It's been chosen. Actually, it happened Monday. Zack Snyder will direct the new Superman reboot. So it's his job. He's in post-production on Sucker Punch, which I will admit looks fucking terrible. Sorry, it does. And once he's done with that, they'll be filming next year, probably the summer, if I had to guess. And what do you guys think?
Well, as the one who somehow was able to accurately predict this, I have to say this choice makes the most sense. As I said before, and I'm pretty sure I did. You know, unless we could pull a Meet the Press, you know, pull what I said. You know, last time we brought
this up.
Yeah,
we won't do that.
Yeah, we don't have that capability, but. He has the technical chops. He's definitely worked for, you know, on movies of this kind of scale.
He's worked with those two studios.
Worked for Warner Brothers.
Yeah, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures. All of his movies with them have been, you know, with those guys. So yeah, I mean, it's the safe choice. I will agree. I didn't think he'd do it. I didn't think he would get the gig. And my initial reaction was, because it really was, but it kind of grew on me, to be honest, because, and as I've said this elsewhere, I think the Superman movie is probably going to be big, bright colors and one-liners and fun and action and stuff and things that Superman needs to be, and it's sort of, I thought more and more about it. I was like, you know, Snyder could probably do a really good job with this.
Probably makes the most sense, doesn't it? I know the internet promptly had a heart attack and then proceeded to make a lot of unfunny comments about, is Superman going to speed up, slow down.
I didn't hear much of that, though, thank God. I was shocked. We didn't hear much of that.
Like I said, out of all those directors, he was the only one who had done anything of that kind of scope.
Yeah.
So if there's any logic involved, you probably would have gone with this guy versus perhaps one of the untested smaller directors.
Which that was my money. I thought it would be Matt Reeves because he seemed like the most controllable of the group. And, you know, I think there's certain things Snyder is going to be able – he might want to do. They're going to say, no, you can't do. Chris, what do you guys think?
Well, I'd like people to imagine for a moment some kind of scary theme music. Maybe the theme from Cape Fear as we ask Queen Christina what she thinks about this news.
You know, I have to say, when I first heard this news, I was horrified. Out of all of the people on that list, he was my least favorite option. I really did not want
him
to get this.
Not even Tony Scott, I'm surprised.
I would have... I think I might have been better off with Tony Scott.
Wow, really?
I just I just really didn't want Zack Snyder to get this, but the more and more that I think about it, I'm sort of starting to see both sides of the argument. I don't like Zack Snyder, but then again, I might have wanted somebody to take a more serious approach to Superman, but we've already had our serious approach to Superman. That was Superman Returns, and we saw how wonderfully that turned out. So maybe we do need somebody to come in and give us a bunch of pretty colors and action sequences and more than lifting things and stalking ex-girlfriends and not paying child support. So
and another real estate scam. So
and that's
the other thing I want to mention. What is the view on the fact that Zod is going to be the villain in this?
Not unlike Snyder. Initially, God damn it, and then it grew on me. I'll go with it. It reminds me of Ra's al Ghul being used as the heavy for Batman Begins, and then going for the more iconic, well-known villains for the sequel.
Yeah, they bring out the big gun in the second movie.
That's otherwise what it sounds like to me, because as much as people – I don't think Zod is that well-known of a villain, to be honest, because you think of Superman, you think of Lex Luthor, and that's about it. Even, that's pretty much it.
No. Wrong. I just – it's time for Squeaky Phil again. I'm sorry about this. I know what you're saying, dude. You're absolutely right about what the public perception is, but that's got to change. First of all, I've said this before, Luther shouldn't be in the first movie, only for the reason I want them to make a good Superman movie and prove they can make it without Lex Luthor. They can make it with other villains. Secondly,
well, here's the thing, Phil, and you're probably going to – they're not going to go with Luthor in the second movie. You know what it would be, and this has been brought to my attention several times, is they go – you have Zod, right?
Yeah.
This would probably give him the entryway, if they're going to pull the dark, something out of the Dark Knight playbook, to bring in something like Brainiac.
Right.
Oh, you didn't think of that now, did you?
Zing.
That's the only other major villain. So.
No, I want Brainiac now! I've been waiting for Brainiac since
I think
Superman
we should have spent
3.
Time trying to figure out who would they cast as Zod. So,
well, this movie is going to be – it's going to be big – you're going to go for big names just like Batman Begins to class it up. And my sort of fake suggestion was Daniel Day-Lewis as Zod, which will never happen. I just said that to get a response out of people.
I think they respect – because it's most likely it'll be a Brit because they're always portrayed as the bad guy. Now, see how Liam Neeson is already –
Mark Strong, come on down again.
Liam Neeson was a Batman Begins, so we can cross him off the list.
Yeah.
Some people had mentioned online Clive Owen. Now, I don't know. Maybe it would be that. I have no idea.
I'm thinking, and this will segue to a story we'll get to in a few minutes, Tom Hardy.
Oh, my God.
That's good. That is good. Yes. That trumps me. I was thinking Matthew Good. Now, I'm not saying he would be the best.
Now, wait a minute.
No. He's not. I can't imagine this guy kicking anyone's ass, Matthew Good.
No, I'm not saying he's the best choice, but I could see him with the beard. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Just thinking off the top.
I can think of Jude Law with the beard.
God will be clean shaven in my view and for this movie.
He'll have the mustache. That's how we'll know he's evil, sir. True, he'll have the mustache.
Or the goatee.
I know you want to stop me ranting, and that's totally
no.
Just cut this part out, Jamie. But I need to get this off my chest because I don't care about the director. Really, I want the movie made. And hopefully I want it made good. But it really bothers me. It just really bothers me that they're going back to a villain we've already seen before. I like General Zod, and if it works in the story...
Well, to be fair, did anyone have that reaction to, like, when, it's, oh, God, they're going to do Joker again with Batman 2?
Oh, no, of course not, because he's the Joker.
But that's my point, though. It's like, people could have had that reaction, like, oh, God, it's so-and-so again,
Well, I'm not everyone. I know everyone else is fine with this. It's just me.
Oh, I don't know if everyone else is fine. I actually don't have. I don't know what the gauge in the Zod reaction is.
Well, the word from the man on the street is that everyone else.
Man on the street, come here.
No. Doesn't care. I've been waiting for Brainiac since Superman 3, and we got Richard Pryor's magic computer instead. I've been waiting for Brainiac for so long, and it feels like there is a conspiracy out there to stop him getting on the screen just for Phil's sake, just to make me angry. And it's I know it's not all about me, but that's the only part of all this news that we've heard this week about Superman.
That
bothers me, that it's going to be a villain that we've seen. I just want something completely fresh. When we first heard about this, I said, okay, here it is. Here's the chance for us to get John Byrne's Superman on the screen. Obviously, you can't cast someone who literally looks like that. that physique does not exist, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but,
speaking of physique, I just want to chime in. I just saw those pictures of Chris Evans from Captain America. And
oh, yeah.
That does not look right, actually. Man. Looks pretty
There's been some speculation that he has been taking the steroids.
Yeah, he looks like he's on the juice.
Yeah, because it's legal in the other neck of the woods. I'm pointing to Phil right now. And that's why he's doing it.
But I have to say, I fully believe, despite there was that minor irritation about Zod being in this movie, that as soon as they have the trailer or something where he says Neil, the internet will once again, you know, splooge. So
nerdgasm, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It's
true.
That'll
be probably the last word in the trailer, or there'll be a teaser poster that says that.
So, and that will be terrible. Neil! Ugh.
Or it'll be a very casual Neil. So.
Yeah.
Well, if they cast Tom Hardy, then I'm sure he'll find a way to.
I'm about to say, if they cast Tom Hardy and he points at you, points to the audience, he goes Neil. That's gonna not sound right. So I think we should think of something else. I'm just saying here.
Well, you think he's gonna do cinema public service announcements as Zod?
Oh my God.
Why not? He should do. Well, he should do them as Charlie Bronson.
Oh dear Lord. That would just be him with a hanging lamp over his face. That's it.
That's the idea. So, I mean, while we're on the subject of Kal-El, the next thing we're going to be hearing is obviously casting. What do you guys think off the top of your head for who?
I still stand by the fact of idea of John Hamm. It's either going to be that, or it's going to be another unknown, or the third possibility that somehow Ralph comes back into it. That's probably what's going to be.
Ralph,
but really, I'm gunning for John
Hamm.
They
pretty much shot down the Ralph thing, which is pretty obvious at this point. They weren't going to bring him back. Actually, the trades did. So, yeah, someone older. Well, we say older. I mean, Hamm's like 38 or 39. That's not really old. I mean,
we're talking that's as old as it'll get. I personally believe, and I think it was you, Jamie, that said that they, you know, that they actually should cast a man as a Superman. And there was third hand rumor I had heard that Zack Snyder also wants John Hamm to do this. So. I mean, it will be a different kind of movie, but...
Could they even get him? I mean, what's his schedule for Mad Men like?
It's on cable, so the shoot is a little more unorthodox. They would shoot it, like, around summer or spring. They would fit a schedule to let the guy do it, I think. I mean, that would give a... That would,
or heaven forbid it doesn't get... You know, they hold it like The Sopranos. They hold it for a year, and then they release another season. And the episodes of Mad Men are about 13 episodes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a short schedule. I mean, everyone goes off and does a bunch of other stuff in between. So okay. I think, as we've said before, Mad Men's not that really highly watched of a show. You damn well know AMC would be like, let's fit this in the schedule because our ratings will go through the roof if we get Superman on the show, if that were to happen. I doubt the network would suddenly be like, fuck that idea, he's ours. I doubt that.
So it's clear, like I said, it's either going to be that or it's going to be another unknown. We know
someone younger.
Sure.
Like some people suggest Armie Hammer, you know, Scott Porter,
so
et cetera.
So it'd be a blonde Superman.
Well, I mean, he'd dye his hair, I mean, obviously.
That wouldn't look right at all, actually. Huh. Although, and it's funny because that guy would be built to be a...
He's big. He's about as big as Ralph, actually, apparently.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hey, he can act. So, I mean, we'll see.
I really hope... Aside from the Superman casting, I hope they get a good Superman, of course. But I really want them to get a Lois Lane that is not my age this time. Please.
Oh, I have two words to counter to that point. Elizabeth Banks. And then we'll just move on topic because I think that's the perfect Lois Lane right there. And if you get someone like John Hamm, then you could get someone like Elizabeth Banks.
And that would lead to the conclusion then. I wonder if this Superman would be more of a period piece.
No, it won't be a period piece.
Or it would be like in a fantasy world. So
I don't even think that because, I mean, well, Bryan Singer's movie had sort of the fantasy world aspects. I mean, everyone dressed like they were in the 40s, and yet they were walking around with cell phones and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I was thinking maybe it would have been like that world in Batman the Animated Series, but then it may not make any sense. So
I think it'll be very modern or like, you know, neo-modern kind of thing going forward.
You want people saying it looks like Sky Captain. You don't want that.
God, no.
What I'm saying is I want to see the Metropolis SCU. That means Jane Lynch is Maggie Sawyer. Make it happen.
And Hugh Laurie. Let's get Hugh Laurie this time, and let's see the Perry White.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie is Perry White. I just have a feeling like it'll be Hugh Laurie as Perry White or Hugh Laurie as J. Jonah Jameson. I really do think it'll be one of those two things.
It was a good Photoshop image.
Find some way to fit Stephen Fry in there for your own personal joke.
There you go. Well, he's doing Sherlock Holmes too. Why the hell not?
Stephen Fry as Jor-El. I'm really not seeing that. That's not working for me.
Yeah.
Could you imagine his giant face giving him the wittiest advice ever? Unbelievable.
He should, yeah, let him be Perry White. Why not?
No, I've always said I want James Woods as J. Jonah Jameson. If you make that happen, I don't care who you cast as Perry White.
Speaking of Spider-Man, this was not on topic, but it did happen this week, and I meant to bring this up, so I will bring it up now. Okay. Came the development that they have picked the female lead for the Spider-Man reboot, coming out same year as Man of Steel, same year as Batman 3, Star Trek 2, et cetera, et cetera. Basically the last year in existence, so at least we'll go out with a big nerd year at the movies. Emma Stone is going to play Gwen Stacy in the Spider-Man reboot, an idea that I'm appalled by,
I just want to jump in. It's like they're continuing the tradition of not casting blonde actresses for blonde. They continue to cast redheads to play blonde actresses.
She's actually a natural blonde.
She is.
Oh, crap. Nice.
Yeah, I knew. I had heard that years ago, but I thought it was funny when they did the press release. They had to very clearly say in big, bold words, "She's a blonde, by the way," just to get it out there.
Who gives a shit?
I agree completely. Look. I'm against it just because she's so goddamn talented and she does not need to be in this franchise at this point. She just opened a movie on her own and she could probably get more money than Andrew Garfield is going to get for Spider-Man. And I just think it's like, I don't know where you benefit from this. I mean, she'll be fine. She'll be fine in the role. I'm not saying she won't be, but I just, for her sake, I was kind of hoping she would not take the part.
I think that's part of why she's picking Gwen Stacy and not Mary Jane Watson. If you're Mary Jane Watson, you're in this franchise for three movies. If you're Gwen Stacy and if they follow the comic books, she's only going to be in this for one movie.
Supposedly. So we don't know that. I mean, they're keeping this thing under such tight lids. I find it hard to believe they would kill her off in one movie. I don't buy that.
Let's say hypothetically they do kill her off in one movie. She gets all the press. She gets all of the attention for being in that Spider-Man movie. And she can take that, and she can move on to other things without having to be tied down to this franchise. I think it's a smart move.
I don't know.
It's a good point.
I don't agree. It's just like being a Bond girl. You say the same thing about Eva Green. Like, she was brilliant in Casino Royale, and yet, like, she's always got that stamp forever. She's a Bond girl. You know, you get involved with one of these franchises, particularly the female part, which is always the most thankless role, and it's stigma is there forever, particularly is tarnished at this franchise, I think.
She was a Bond girl, but let's keep it real. Vesper Lynd is a much different Bond girl from the one Denise Richards played.
Well, true. I'm not arguing that, but still, you know. Michael Cera's Jimmy White.
I don't think there's an established pattern for it, Jamie. I think you've got to view it on a case-by-case basis. It all depends on the choices an actress makes, all the choices that are made available to them. I'm sure Eva Green, if she wanted, could have done a lot of big movies. I'm sure she got some offers, but, you know, she chose...
Yeah, Eva Green does not do big movies. I mean, the most well-known movie she did before was The Dreamers. For obvious reasons, but...
Also add to that list, I would also add Kingdom of Heaven, because her character got completely raped in the theatrical cut of that, and I actually heard a rumour she refused to promote that film because of what they did to her character in the edit, which is... We can understand that is a bit silly, really, but, you know.
Do your job, promote your fucking movie, no matter what you think. I mean, that's my feeling about that one.
I just wound him up and I'm letting him go.
No.
Getting paid a ridiculous amount of money. Go out there and promote your movie.
Exactly. Yeah, Hugh Jackman, Will Smith, they put a smile every time, those million-dollar smiles, and you wouldn't know they thought their movies were shit. You talk to them personally, they'll be like, you probably have Hugh Jackman like pinch his nose if you say X-Men Origins Wolverine, but you wouldn't have known that talking to him publicly about it.
No.
That's his classiness right there, you know?
That's what you're supposed to do. So, segue, speaking of Wolverine, God, I hope this doesn't happen. One of the many directors linked to the Superman reboot was Darren Aronofsky. He didn't get the job, as we just said a few minutes ago, obviously. He's been attached to a lot of comic book movies over the years, and one that's been kind of gaining steam the last couple of months and sort of re-picked up after he lost the Superman gig was this Wolverine sequel. Godno? That's the only thing that comes to mind when I think of Darren Aronofsky on Wolverine 2. What do you guys think?
I really wish he'd be doing his own stuff. He shouldn't have touched RoboCop. Would he have been good for Superman? Perhaps, because he is innovative.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have gotten something with his other movies. But I wish he really should stick to his own stuff.
He seems like the kind of director who's comfortable. I don't get the impression. I mean, all of his movies are independently financed, to my knowledge. I don't get the impression he's having a problem getting financing. And you know, this current one, Black Swan, is getting amazing reviews. And you know, he'll probably get Oscar nomination.
He probably then just wants to do something for the hell of it. You know.
Well, the money also just well, you know, I mean, he's got a kid and he's married, I think.
Well, yeah, right. You know, to Rachel Weisz.
There you go. You got to pay for that stuff.
You got a cape? Are you implying that Rachel Weisz is a prostitute?
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant just, okay, let me clarify. I didn't mean that, since I meant living the lifestyle, like, that they most likely do live. That was
has that high flying of a lifestyle.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, you know, Rachel Weisz is, I don't know. I could imagine them, like, you know, going to the fanciest hotels and shit like that. Him getting angry at the hotel clerk. Do you know who I am? I made pie! You know?
I still refer to that.
Of all the movies.
You know what, Jamie? I think James Lipton should retire, and you should be the new host of Inside the Director Studio. I'd love you to meet all these people and ask these fascinating questions and just get a real reaction. Like, I'd love to your interview with Jon Favreau. Dude, did you lose weight? You did, didn't you? And, you know, yeah, Darren Aronofsky. So, really, a night with Rachel Weisz. How much? Come on, you pimp. Come on.
I didn't mean it that way.
No. It's fine. It's fine. No, we pulled you out of that hole, you dog.
For
That's
once,
fine.
My head wasn't in the gutter.
I don't know, dude. I mean, it's just one of those. I mean, I've said that regardless of whether Wolverine 2 is getting made and regardless of who it's getting made with, the fact is, you know, there are people out there who will get excited about it simply because they're saying, and of course it is just spin, they're telling you what you want to hear. Oh, this time it's going to be the Japan story. And we've got Chris McCrory to write it. He's talented. Well, of course, he'll be completely rewritten by some other guy,
Absolutely.
Some less talented guy, like Skip Woods. He's the pet writer at Fox at the moment, and he rewrote the Wolverine script. And also, it just doesn't matter. I want to shake these people and I want to say, dude, I've read that Wolverine story too, and it is not that deep. It ain't that good. It's a nice read, but it's a pulp read. It's just about a guy who goes to Japan because he's found out his wife-to-be is in trouble because, you know, she's her father's a crime boss.
It was written by Frank Miller also. It kind of gives you...
Oh, here he goes. Here he goes.
It's true, though. I mean, you know, just saying.
You always say, I know, he's written some good stuff. I'll defend Frank Miller on some stuff. He's written some bad stuff, and he's written some good stuff. This thing was just, as I've always said, it's one of the few Frank Miller stories that isn't complicated. It's just a pulp read. You know, he goes there, he goes to Japan, and it's some nice imagery. He uses adamantium claws to climb up a big wall and stuff, and he fights ninjas and samurai.
Silver Samurai, I think, or something.
Silver Samurai, that's right. It's just an excuse for Wolverine to fight some ninjas.
So basically another excuse for Hugh Jackman to go, "Aah!" and then, like, you know, stab somebody.
And then we can do the commentary with you doing that.
And then he takes his shirt off.
Yo, and then he gives his interviews. Yeah, I had to get in a lot of... I'm not going to... That was actually really mean what I was about to say. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Moving on then.
Yeah.
So as we were talking about before, we are fully behind. I fully support Jamie's idea that Tom Hardy should play General Zod. That's a fucking excellent idea. Since he might not be so busy.
Yeah. Since he might not be busy. Hit Friday afternoon, I think it hit. Mad Max Fury Road, and they were going to do another one right after that. I can't pronounce what it was called. We'll just call it Mad
Max Road. I remember calling it. Nothing happens. He just sits on a lawn chair.
It was going to have Muppets in it also.
Right,
Australian Muppets. No, but, yeah, apparently it's been delayed. It was supposed to be filming, I think, this early months of next year. They were in pre-production. They had built a couple of hundred cars just for the production. It's all for naught, man. The production is not – basically, the plug got pulled, and they are not expecting to get things going until February of 2012, which I think is a really nice, kindly way of saying the movie is dead. And I don't know what happened, but if I remember correctly, this movie is independently financed, and Warner Brothers inked a deal with George Miller to distribute the film for, I think, 2012 release, because he's already making Happy Feet 2 for the studio. So that pretty much, to me, says we're not getting a Mad Max sequel, period.
I'm starting
that's
to
what, that's
really...
what I read into it. I mean, maybe, like, you know, a miracle will happen and it'll still get made, but I don't know, man. If you, I mean, it's 2010. If you say we're not going to start pre-production back up until early 2 years from now, that sounds like a really nice way of saying, like, oh, yeah, it's done.
I would agree with you, and I'm starting to feel really bad for George Miller. This is becoming a pattern. You know, Justice League Mortal was ready to go. He built it. He cast it. It was ready to... It had been written. It was ready to go. Of course, we've got the, you know, people like Armie Hammer coming out now telling us how great it was going to be.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, fine. But still, Pactor's movie was ready to go, and they pulled the plug. Same thing here. It's this poor guy. I feel really bad for him. And I feel really bad because... You know, I don't think there was any emotional investment, really, in a Mad Max 4. We were just going to wait and see how it turned out.
I think he was into it. He'd been wanting to make it for years. I mean, they were going to make one. I mean, they had built sets and whatnot for Fury Road back around 2002, 2003, and they were going to shoot overseas. I want to say in Morocco. Someone have to correct me on that one. And the Iraq War had just launched. And cause I was in high school at the time, and they pulled the plug because all the studios did not want to have overseas productions at that juncture. Mm. And so, yeah. With Mel Gibson, no less. So that didn't happen.
Mm. Anyone else got a take?
I got nothing. I mean, I'm sure it would have been fine to have a remake, and I'm sure Tom Hardy would have been great. But, well, that's a shame. But these things.
It's a shame for him because, like, it would have, like, giving him a real launching point, a star vehicle, because these people now know him for. They know him from Inception now. Like, they do know.
Right.
Him. So it's like to go from there to something even bigger. It's great for him, and now that's not going to be there anymore. So
that's why it makes sense then if he'd be possible for Zod,
or so. Batman 3. Who the hell knows? I mean, those will be filming around the same time. I mean, we're just guessing on that, folks. I mean, for all we know, yes. He might play the villain as Spider-Man. God forbids. I mean, we don't know, but we're just guessing on that. But it seems likely he'll be involved with one of these franchise pictures.
Hmm.
So, Chris, what do you think?
Well.
Thanks, Chris.
Whatever.
She's still whatever. Thinking about Hugh Jackman, I'm afraid. You say Hugh Jackman, her mind's way away.
Hugh Jackman shirtless, yeah. Might as well tune her out.
It's probably Let's talk about the best. Move on.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about some Harry Potter stuff. That'll wake her up.
There you go. It woke me up.
What's
Ron,
going on, Jamie?
Well, I mean, they were going to... Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 opens next month. I think day and date. I think I don't know what date it is. I think it's like November 15th or something. I'm guessing
19th,
that.
19th, baby.
Thank you. She knows, ladies and germs. So it was supposed to be in 3D. They did those. They did the one sheet saying proclaiming 3D. They did the teaser, the actual trailers proclaiming 3D. This past week, Warner Brothers has come out and said, no, it will not be in 3D, not Part 1 at least, because apparently we can't deliver a quality product in time that will satisfy fans with a 3D, which basically means that if they could get this out, but it would be like shit and people would turn against them, or it wouldn't make as much money with the shitty 3D.
I love your bullshit voice, Jamie. That's my favorite voice you do.
Thank you.
I just breathed a sigh of relief, really. Chris pointed this out to me when we were off air, that the 3D we've seen in the Potter films, because you know, we've seen them in IMAX 3D, hasn't been bad at all. You know, it's been absolutely fine. They've only done sequences, though, in one. So in the last one, they did the first 10 minutes in 3D, and Order of the Phoenix, the whole climax was in 3D. It wasn't bad at all, but... as far as full conversions goes, of full movies, Warner Brothers just does not have the greatest batting average with this technology. It doesn't work at all. With Clash of the Titans, that was horrible. Not seeing Last Airbender, but from what I've heard from people who saw it, the 3D conversion, on top of everything else about that movie, was absolutely ghastly. And it's great. This is fantastic news, because I've really been really looking forward to this. And the only thing that's been concerning me is the fact that I'm going to have to watch a 2.5-hour movie. I don't like seeing IMAX 3D movies anyway, because I'm going
to
see...
Oh, don't worry, Phil. You'll get to see it with Part 2, the very last Harry Potter movie. Because notice they didn't mention that in that big press release where they patted themselves on the back. Like, aren't we great? We listen to fans. Notice that?
your bullshit voice just... If I had a bullshit-ometer, it would have exploded in my hand by now. I just love your bullshit voice, Jamie. Chris, what do you think of this?
Well, when I first heard that they weren't going to have the 3D, I was a little bit disappointed, but then I thought, well, you know, the big wizard battle isn't until Part 2 anyway, so for this one, they're just going to be running around in the woods, so it's fine. I'd rather see it in 2D than see it in a crappy 3D conversion. So by all means, leave it in 2D.
Like it really needs, like it's really going to need that extra 3D bump to get to $950 to $1 billion. Like, come
sure
on,
it won't.
It averages that. I'll be shocked if the very last movie doesn't break $1 billion. It doesn't need the 3D bump to get to that number. In the same way that Toy Story 3 didn't need 3D to get to $1 billion, it's still. I firmly believe it's that movie still would have made $1 billion without the 3D bump.
Absolutely.
Now, Alice in Wonderland, no, but Toy Story 3, it still would have made it, I think.
But to be fair, though, we did say that movie clicked with people. We don't know why, but it did.
I don't know why.
Alice in Wonderland had a terrible conversion. It was awful. I saw that in 3D IMAX, and it looked like shit.
The only reason I could think of is, and that's one of the few things I'll say nicely about this movie. That movie is that it had actually a really good protagonist. Like, the girl who played Alice was good. And I like the fact that she didn't just, at the end of the movie, they had it tacked on, like, oh, well, she needs a husband, because in that world, she'd only live happily ever after with a man in her life. No, she actually goes off on her own, starts a business, and has a life of her own. That was actually, I thought, great. Everything else was terrible, but I thought maybe that's maybe what clicked with people about Alice in Wonderland. Maybe it's because it was Johnny Depp, and he's just so dreamy. I can't tell which one.
He is, and he's a classy dude, too, turning up in schools and stuff.
He has done so many things like that in the past. It's like you need, like, a checklist of the cool things he's done. He seems like a really cool, like, you know, like, he seems like a genuinely cool guy. Like, you can kind of get that vibe from that. Is such a nice story. You can tell it, Phil, since you seem to know it by heart.
Oh, no, I'm going to let Chris tell this one. I bet he knows it.
I sure do. This little girl in somewhere in London, I think. Was it London?
It was Crime Central. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it was somewhere over there in the UK. It was somewhere over there where they're shooting the next Pirates of the Caribbean disaster movie. But anyway, she wrote a letter to Johnny Depp saying that her classmates were trying to stage a mutiny against their teachers, and she was asking Captain Jack Sparrow to come and help. And sure enough, Johnny Depp rolls up into that school in full costume as Captain Jack Sparrow with her letter and walked in there and hung out with the kids for like 15 minutes.
Apparently there's video on YouTube of this.
There is video. I saw it.
You can't hear a word he's saying, unfortunately.
Basically, it's like the movies. You don't know what he's saying.
Exactly. There we go. You owe me for that setup, sir. It's a really great moment. Just you don't need to hear it. You can see this little kid comes up to him and she's just.
Well, just other things. Like there was a story about they were shooting. They kept going to this one restaurant. I'm paraphrasing the story, so it might be a little off, but they went to this one restaurant during the filming of Public Enemies up in Chicago, and they on the last day they all had a big get together there, and Johnny Depp left $1,000 tip for the waitress.
That wasn't the story I thought you were going to say. I thought your little kid wrote to him, please, Tommy Gunn, my teacher, stay stuck, please come in.
He was such a nice guy. He came in and kidnapped her, put a bag over her head, and shot her. Such a sweet man. No, that didn't happen.
No.
He's done other things like that before. He said something about his daughter, and
the story about his daughter in the hospital. Yeah.
Tell that to the listeners real quick.
His daughter got really, really sick when he was filming Sweeney Todd. She went into kidney failure, and she had to go into the hospital. And he was so grateful to this hospital for taking such good care of her that not only did he donate $1 million to that hospital, he went in there dressed up as Captain Jack again, and he read to sick kids like 2 or 3 hours. Didn't publicize it at all. He just went in there and did it. Like, somebody hospital told the press about it after it happened, so there's no pictures of it anywhere, but yeah, that dude
he's going to heaven. Fox. He's going to heaven. I think we can just agree on that one.
Absolutely.
Let's see.
I don't know how we segue into the next story, really.
Yes, because Transformers is what I think of as heaven. Transformers 3 has a title. It's I'm laughing because it's such.
You can't even say it without laughing.
It's so goddamn stupid.
Go on, try, Jamie. I'll give you $100.
A fan forum, they got a hold of what they thought was the title. Collider confirmed it. And they said, no, we checked it. It's legit. The title is Transformers Dark of the Moon. What has to do with anything? Will Pink Floyd do the soundtrack is what I'm wondering.
That's what I was thinking, yes!
A psychedelic Transformers movie.
Bob Geldof is going to make a return appearance.
Nice.
My older doppelganger, Bob Geldof, will make an appearance, apparently, so...
Oh, man.
I have no idea why.
The Dark of the Moon.
The Dark of the Moon. The only reason that I...
I just think of Ralph Crampton when I say that line for some reason. Pow! Kick! Zam! Dark of the Moon, Alice! I don't know why I think of that.
The only reason that I brought it up... We don't talk about Transformers 3 on this.
Transformers movie. Ed Norton and Ralph Crampton and Transformers.
You would totally see that.
I could totally.
I don't care what you say about that. You'd totally see that movie.
I would totally go see that movie.
Totally. But the only reason we don't talk about Transformers 3 on this show, because we've written it off.
Why?
Well, you know exactly. Jamie wrote it off the first movie. Ed, of course, has high taste. Myself, I unfortunately was suckered into seeing the second one, completely my own fault, and now I've completely written it off. But I was really interested to hear what Christine's perspective on the series was, and whether you know you were going to see it either of your own will or you had friends that you think are going to drag you to.
They're
see
They're not
this
friends episode. If they make you see that movie. I'm just going to.
Well, let's find out, Chris. What do you think?
Look, I have to say, I actually don't hate the first one. I'll go so far as to
click,
say,
click,
actually,
click, 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 delete, delete, delete. No.
No, I didn't think that the first one was completely terrible the first time that I saw it. I had a fun time watching it in the movie theater. Yay, it was fun. The more you watch it, the more you see how terrible it is. The second movie, I only needed to see that one time and know that movie was a piece of shit. It was terrible. Absolutely atrocious. Third movie, no interest in seeing it at all. None at all. I don't care if my friends want to go see it. I don't care if my boyfriend wants to go see it. If he tries to drag me to see it, I'll break up with him. End of story. That's it. I don't want to see that movie.
You have been warned. So, well, there we go then. Well, I mean, that brings up something that we were bringing up off air, is that how well is this movie going to do?
It'll. I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks it won't do as well as the first two, and the other part of me thinks I'm looking at the competition next summer, and I'm starting to think, like, it could probably be the top grosser next summer, the more I think about it. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, we talk about Pirates 4. I think that's not going to do as well. X-Men's not going to do as well. Thor won't do that awesome. Captain America will do okay. Green Lantern, who the hell knows?
Little kids love Transformers.
Little kids poop in their pants too. So I mean, we can't really depend on that one. You know,
I'm not very fond of children, but
I'm okay with them. I mean, I got a couple of nieces and nephews. I'm fond of them, but
if little kids are screaming at their parents, I want to go see Transformers. I want to go see Transformers. They're going to take them to go see Transformers. So I think, plus you got to add in the fact it's going to be in 3D, and people will go see pretty much anything just to see 3D. Oh my God, Optimus.
You sure about that? The box office numbers are going lower and lower because of 3D. I think it's
not
getting,
I would agree.
Yeah, it's getting lower and lower. My nephew will be one by the time this comes out. I don't have that problem with Transformers. Thank God. I think once we get to Star Trek 5, I might have to drag him to see that. But, you know, that'll be a while from now.
You know, As you mentioned it, Jamie, I mean, because I'd written Transformers 3 off so much, I wasn't even paying attention to news, but you mentioned
it. Yeah, because you're just angry because Megan Fox isn't in it. You're like, fuck this movie.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to bomb. Megan Fox isn't there.
If it underperforms, I guarantee you she will make some stupid statement saying, like, see, well, that's what happens. The public sided with me over Michael. Like, no.
Well, can we can the sarcasm? Can we just tone it down just a little bit tonight? Okay,
no.
I think we've had more than enough.
No.
Where would I be without sarcasm? I wouldn't have gotten the job at Screen Rant that made this possible. No.
I told you this movie would be nothing without me. Now let me go get my butt implant. Bye, guys.
Wow. That's better than my impression. Anyway, moving on.
Let me finish my thought then.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say is you made me think about this while we were talking about it off air, and despite the fact what you feel about the first movie, Jamie, the fact is when the second one was coming out and we first heard the rumors of what was going to happen, in fact, that who the villains were going to be, who was going to be back, who was not going to be back, people were following it. I was just like,
whatever, retards, you enjoy it.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. But, I mean, it's theirs to enjoy, right? Let them enjoy it. But they were following it. That's the point.
Yeah, and they walked out of that movie going, oh, my God. It's true.
But with this one, what they're saying, I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing it at all.
Like anything.
anything, not a pin drop.
Well, it's still early. I mean, they didn't really start the campaign for the second one until January of 2009, and they didn't need to. The first one was so well received and popular and successful, they could take their time. And
oh my God, I'm not doing this show anymore. I can only take so much sarcasm on a Sunday. I am way overdosed, man.
Just saying.
I need fucking to be cleansed.
To be cleansed.
I need cleansing. You make me feel dirty. I need a bath after this show.
Like Christina Aguilera music video dirty? Is that what we're talking here?
Oh, Lord.
Where just I'm just like dancing around like greasy and shit. Dirty! I need to take a bath because I'm dirty! Like that?
Oh, my God.
That's the case.
Just, like, just talk about fucking bone, dude.
Yeah, wrap it up is what Phil's saying. He's like, yeah, so... Tony Gilroy, a guy who wrote the first – he had a hand in writing the first three Bourne flicks. He is – it was announced this week he's directing Bourne 4 called the Bourne Legacy. So it was all the question was, okay, well, he's directing it. They don't have a release date anymore. It was supposed to come out in 2012. That is now – seems to have been – it seems to have gone away. So probably as soon as we'll get it, it's 2013. Now the big story is apparently Jason Bourne will not be in the next Jason Bourne movie. Interesting. So that explains why Matt Damon won't be around, and there will be a new lead character, and apparently will follow the events after the third movie where Jason Bourne escapes. They say, no, he's still alive. Well, no shit, we saw the end of the third one. And they're leaving it open so that maybe he can return for Bourne, which one would that be? Bourne 5, The Final Frontier. So, I don't know. I mean, it's an intriguing idea. I don't think the public is going to go over for that personally, but I'm game. Why not? Mm-mm. And no one else
is. I got
is.
Nothing. So
I really don't think this is going to work. I think.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Matt Damon was the draw for Bourne Identity, but I know people went to see Bourne Ultimatum and Bourne Supremacy to see Matt Damon kick somebody's ass. And if Bourne isn't going to be in the movie, why are you even calling it the Bourne? Whatever.
Because it's about his legacy, what he did. It's the title.
Oh, please. Oh,
I'm just saying, that's going to be their logic.
That's... No.
Just stop.
No. Just no. I really, really love the Bourne trilogy. I really love those movies, and I don't want to see a Bourne movie unless Matt Damon's going to be in it. And I get the feeling that a lot of people might feel the same way and say, who is this person? Why are we supposed to follow this person? I don't want to see this.
To me, that explains why 2012 isn't going to happen now. Because I mean, you could get the movie out by 2012, but it sounds to me like they want to make damn sure this works. Because a lot of uneasiness, I think. I've always felt my feeling has been like if you're going to do another Bourne film, don't get Damon involved, don't get Greengrass or to a lesser degree Doug Liman, so they can all just wave their hands and go, "Hey, we didn't fuck it up, they did." So
it's an excellent point, and it's really, really smart of them. It really is. You know, we're joking about it now, but honestly, I can see this movie sort of following the tradition of Son of the Mask or Ace Ventura Jr. Yeah.
Jamie yeah. Kennedy is Jason Bourne. Is that what you're saying?
Son of the Bourne. At least it's not his son, as far as we know. They'll probably drop that bombshell on us in the end by the third act of the film, and he might show up.
That would be so hard to believe that if after all the women James Bond has like slept with over the years, Jason Bourne, the more celibate of the two spy heroes, would be the one who would get someone knocked up. That would be so strange.
Well, his semen is very fast, like everything else about him. It just, you know, all it takes is one. It just goes through there and runs through.
Like that. And then like, boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always said, chops his way out of the
car. I watch like a porn video and there's David Strathairn watching them on the monitor with all those guys like, that's Jason Bourne. It's fucking some girl.
You always said this. This is going back years now, I think, but we always said the ideal title for the film was The Bourne Placenta.
It
starts with him coming out of the womb, karate chopping, as you say. Who cares? It's like you say, the trilogy's done, it's capped, it's fine. We'll just see what happens.
Would you go see it, though? Would you see a Jason Bourne-less Bourne movie?
Nope. Here's the thing. Dude, I never write these things off anymore because history has taught me that, you know, you hear these things and they're always blown out of proportion.
True.
On the internet, and sometimes you hear them and it turns out to be absolutely true, like Wall Street 2, unfortunately. But sometimes these movies come out and they are actually good. So the trailer might be good. I'll wait for the reviews myself, and if the reviews are good, people will come. If I have a mantra, that is it. If it's good, they will come. So let's just wait and see.
Really?
If it's good, they will come. I don't know if I... Maybe. We'll see.
I'm an optimist. What can I say?
Well, you are, and that's not a bad thing, sir. That's why we love you here. But still, I mean, it's just, you know...
Look, hey, look, if this movie gets made at all, and, you know...
it's going to... No. It's going to get made. Universal needs this movie. It's going to get made. Don't doubt that. You know, so...
Well, I mean, you can turn around, and we can all have a good laugh about it in the 2013.
There you go.
How utterly shit it was, and how the guy looked nothing like Bourne, and how he was fat, and... Yeah, who was in XXX2? It was Ice Cube, was it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Ice fucking Cube. To be the new Bond. Let's just do that.
I thought you were going to say Vin Diesel. Let's say, don't give that man more excuse to work.
Oh, don't be hard on Mr. Diesel. He tries so hard.
Yeah,
Fast and the Furious 5. How is he trying hard?
To be fair, though, that movie does have Dwayne Johnson, and if there's any good combination of actor with franchise, it's Dwayne Johnson and the Fast and the Furious. And apparently no one agrees with me on that one. And with that...
Christina, she's usually the authority on all matters Dwayne Johnson.
That's right, that's what I was saying.
I like him, he's a piece of ass, but he can do better than this. I'm very...
Are you sure about that? He's doing another, he's doing Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
I know, I heard... Oh, God, don't remind me.
Are we sure? He was in the Tooth Fairy, you know. I mean, what...
In another world, he would have definitely had some action movies under his belt, and they tried that.
Some other reality.
Don't exist, really, so...
Yeah, that's true. Well, see, that's the thing. It's shocking that this guy wasn't in The Expendables. Like, if anybody should have needed to be in that terrible movie, it should have been Dwayne Johnson, because he would have benefited.
Don't mention The Expendables, Jamie.
The one that made $110 million domestically? Yeah. You say that, and yet you'll go see The Expendables too, though, sir.
No.
You won't?
No. No, I am appalled that you think that little of me.
You'll go see it because it'll have Chuck Norris and Jackie Chan. And who else wasn't in The Expendables who, like, has-been action?
Oh, I like anyone talented. That's who wasn't in it. Anyone talented.
There you go. Are you saying Jean-Claude Van Damme wasn't talented?
What about Chuck Norris?
The star of Street Fighter?
Fuck you, dude. This is about this thing up.
All right. I'm done. Ladies and gerbs, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, at the movies. Take it easy. Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.